Well, that's an interesting group of responses.
It is. Wow.
So we will go, and I'll show you all the answers in Section D. And then, Louise, I know this is one of the ones that I think you wanted to have a little conversation about, and it looks like it's well selected.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at your quiz, item number one in Section D, the answer is 29. Item two, the answer is 34. Item three, the answer is 32. Item four, the answer is 26. Item five, the answer is 28. Six, the answer is 25. Seven, the answer is 30. Eight, the answer is 31. Nine, the answer is 27. 10, the answer is 33. 11, the answer is 24. So, Louise,
yes.
Did you want to comment on one or two of these items under Section D?
Yeah, it's interesting. When I looked at this example, my mind went to, well, what about the pest, the ants? Why isn't this a K-78 complaint about the building, the maintenance, that kind of thing? But in this circumstance, just kind of giving some freedom here to interpret this, the intent of this example is that the administrator was unresponsive. And so taking it at face value, the complaint is the administrator won't respond and address my complaint. You might have circumstances where the resident, the issue like the ants or whatever was resolved. Say the resident went and got their own can of Raid and took care of the problem. So sometimes the real issue is I had a beef, I had a complaint, and the administrator won't do anything about it. And the next time this happens, I don't want to go through this again. So that's the kind of thinking of this complaint here, is that the staff is unresponsive to the complaint. And, that could be, I think people zeroed in on the ants in the room as a dignity issue. And again, that's kind of having to go back to what is most fitting, what is the resident telling you. And in this example, the resident didn't say anything about how it made him feel in terms of dignity, but it was more about, I've tried to get this resolved, and the administrator won't respond. So it's, again, it's one where your conversation with the resident or complainant helps to guide where you end up with this complaint. And I would say it's also quite possible that you could end up having a complaint about the administrator not being responsive and a second complaint about the other issue, say it's pests, ants in the room. So it's not out of the question that they're two very separate issues that are joined. That's not out of the realm of possibility.
Thank you, Louise. And I wanted you to say just a word about something that's similar to another one that we touched on. But before you do that, several of you are letting us know that some of the responses, the categories under D, and specifically 31 or 32 through 34, did not show up on your quiz. I have no clue why that is, but we will take another look at it because we've check these. So anyway, we'll take another look at it and fix it and put the new and improved version that shows all of the categories under D and the items. We'll put that up on the NORC website later today. So Louise, I think you had also flagged as a possible one because it could go in a couple of different categories. Item number one on D, which is the resident from the Ukraine and speaks limited English. No one on the staff can communicate with her in her native language. This is similar a little bit because it's a language issue. Would you say a word about why that's in this neighborhood or supermarket versus another category?
Yeah, the previous one we had was about the resident's ability to receive information in their language. And so it's very similar to, and this is where I think we've probably made some of our coding harder than it needs to be, but it is what it is. And this is about the resident's ability to receive care in her native language. It's not a complaint against the staff and communication barriers, meaning the staff having communication barriers. and it's not about the ability to receive information, which is typically about rights, contracts, that kind of thing. It's not about receiving that kind of information in a language that's understood by the resident, but it's more about that routine day-to-day care, what kind of how I like to be bathed, how I like to have help getting dressed. So it's, you know, again, it's kind of a fine line here, but that's the way that these codes have developed, and so that's kind of how you have to look at it in trying to get at what is the predominant theme.
Thank you, Louise. Now let's move to Section E of your quiz. We don't have a polling question on this one, mainly because it's so short. So E1, the answer is E37. Item number 2, the answer is E38. Item number 3, the answer is E36. And Shelley, I believe you were going to just say a word of clarification about E1, which is that the home will not give a resident his personal needs allowance when he wants because they say he spends it all the first week of the month.
Right. And it's pointing out that this is not financial exploitation. And if it were, it wouldn't go in this section under financial and property. He gets his money by the end of the month, so it's not exploitation. It's their procedures, et cetera, and the way they're handling his personal funds. And again, we've talked a little bit about the different places that financial issues go. Willful financial exploitation, that's severe and possibly criminal. It goes back up in the abuse section under A. And if it's by someone not affiliated with the facility or that the facility couldn't reasonably anticipate or control, we go back down to P-121. So, again, these are things that are not financial exploitation but other missteps by the facility in terms of handling residents' finances and property.
And just a reminder, if you just look at the short kind of summary of the complaint code, it doesn't give you the detail. So it's important to go in and actually read the full definition. And that's something that I can't express enough. And I found reviewing this, it's like I had to go back and read the definition and go, oh, yeah, okay, this definition is why it's this answer.
That's a good point, Louise, because sometimes I scratch my head at the answer, too. When you're using the quiz, even the full version of the quiz that shows all the codes in a category, the little shorthand version doesn't always accurately give you a clue about why it's in a certain box and not another one. And that's when Louise is talking about the full definition, it's going back to that real thick document that you received from us, which is the NORS instructions complaint codes. And usually there's a full sentence, sometimes two or three or four, that help better describe the kinds of situations, complaints to be addressed and captured under one specific item. Okay, let's move to F, and it's the care issues. Specifically, we've decided to poll on item number F9, which says a resident was not sent to the hospital for x-rays after falling in the dining room, although she complained several times that her wrist was hurting. So give us your answer. Just key it in, and we'll see how people came out on this one. Okay, we have a spread of opinions about which code to use. So for some clarification, let's look at the answers for all the 12 items under Section F. Item number 1, the answer is F 47. Item number 2, the answer is 45. Item 3, the answer is 42. Item 4, the answer is 40. Item 5, the answer is 41. 6, the answer is 48. 7, the answer is 44. 8, the answer is 50. 9, the answer is 46. 10, the answer is 43. 11, the answer is 51. 12, the answer is 49. And Louise?
Yeah.
Would you want to start with item number 9, and then there may be another one that you want to address, but 9 is the one I read. The resident was not sent to the hospital for x-rays after falling, although she complained several times that her wrist was hurting.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think the codes that were selected have some certainly room to deliberate and think about, so I'll kind of go down the list of choices that people picked. So F40, and I don't have the full definition in front of me, but the shorthand definition is accident for injury of unknown origin, falls, improper handling. Well, we know the resident fell in the dining room, so there was a fall. That's known. And the resident is not complaining about the fall. She's complaining about her wrist hurting. And that, although she complained several times, nothing was done. So it could also have been symptoms unattended. It comes close. But again, going back to what does the resident say? I complained several times that my wrist was hurting. Nothing was done. And the definition, and this is where you have to really go back and read those definitions, use for failure of facility to obtain physician services upon a change in resident's condition or if medical attention, including podiatrist service, is not obtained in a timely manner or not obtained at all. And that's her complaint, was she needed to see the doctor and there was a change in her condition and it didn't happen. So again, this one, you know, it is close, the other answers. And there might be, you know, some circumstance that you get that's going to trigger a different coding because, you know, every set of circumstances will be different. So, you know, if you, say, a resident ends up going to the doctor because they maybe are nonverbal, they're indicating they're in pain, and it's discovered that they did have a fall, there's a fracture or a serious bruising that indicates a fall, and it's an unknown origin, you might end up with F40. So again, the individual circumstances will guide your coding. And it doesn't mean you're being inconsistent, it means you're being presented with a set of facts, and based on those facts, you select what comes the closest. And let me think here. Oh, the other one. Okay, F47. So in the first question, I hope you all have the actual quiz in your hand. So the first one in number F is, a resident was admitted to the hospital with 2 developing bed sores. And for this example, we are assuming that the bed sores are not due to neglect. Pressure ulcers can be an indicator of neglect, but that is not always the case. For example, the resident might be predisposed to pressure ulcers and could develop them rapidly. Neglect typically involves a pattern of not providing care, some residents, though, just might develop a pressure ulcer despite efforts to prevent it. So at this, with the limited information you have, you can't just jump to the assumption that it was a pattern of conduct or willful action or inaction that caused neglect. So, again, it is, at this point, with the information you have, it is a care issue.
Thank you, Louise. Let's move to Section G, and there isn't a polling question on this. The category is rehabilitation or maintenance of function. So item number 1, the answer is 59. Item 2, the answer is 55. Item 3, the answer is 57. Item 4, the answer is 58. Item 5, the answer is 56. Item 6, the answer is 53. Item 7, the answer is 54. Shelley, did you want to make a comment about any of these items?
Sure. First of all, remember that this is a category for failure to provide needed rehabilitation or services that are necessary to maintain function. If you look at those categories, they're all very specific, and that's what NORS is tracking here, is failure to provide specific kinds of services to residents. This is not a payment issue that the resident needed dental services, but your state plan doesn't cover dental. It's really the facility's failure to provide for or arrange for certain kinds of services. In G59, it's vision and hearing services that the facility failed to make the appointment for. So it's that responsibility that we're targeting here, not payment or lack of availability of these kinds of services for residents.
Great. Thank you, Shelley. I want to keep moving, and then hopefully we'll have some time at another break point for some discussion or questions if you have them. And as we've said before, if you do have questions and we don't get to them on the call today, if you send them in or if you put them in the chat, we will get them and we'll respond. So if you look at Section H, there are two items, and it's about the physical and chemical restraints. So item number one, the response, the correct answer is 62. Item number two, the answer is 61. Any comments on that from Shelley or Louise?
Excuse me. Or Shelley, did you want to take this? Sorry.
Sure. You'll see that both of these complaint examples assume that the drug was given to the resident for staff convenience. These codes remind us that to review our definitions of restraints, and one aspect of a proper improper restraint is that it's used for staff convenience. That's the first question there. New medications given to a resident since moving into the nursing home have made her lethargic and less responsive. This isn't a category where we experience a lot of confusion. It seems pretty straightforward and pretty narrow in terms of restraints.
Okay, thank you. Let's move to I, which is activities and social services. And we have a polling question there. If you look at your quiz, number 4 under I, some members of the Nursing Home Residents Council do not want a particular resident to be allowed to attend resident council meetings because he talks too much and disrupts the meetings. Who can blame them, right? So key in your response, and then we'll take a look at all of the answers under Section I. Okay, an overwhelming number of you think it's that 66 is the correct code, but there's some difference of opinion, which is not surprising. Thank you for keying in your answers. The correct answers are item number 1 is 65, item 2 is 64, item 3 is 67, item 4 is 66. And Shelley, I believe you were going to say something maybe about the one that we polled people on?
Right, that some members of the Nursing Home Residents Council do not want a particular resident to attend because he's disruptive. So the nexus of the complaint is about the problem with the resident conflict. It's not about the facility's lack of support for the resident council. It's really the resident conflict. So staff has an obligation to address that conflict. And this is certainly an example of where you might get involved as a mediator, working with staff, help redirect the resident, and help the resident council meeting run more smoothly. and provides you lots of opportunity to help them structure the resident council more satisfactorily. L94 would be the category, complaint category that you would use, is if it was if the facility was putting up some kind of a barrier or making it difficult for the resident council to meet regularly and effectively. But the nexus of this issue here was the resident conflict.
Thank you, Shelley, and thanks for pointing that out. Let's move to section J, which is dietary. We do not have a polling question for this one. So if you look at your quiz, item number one, the answer is J69. Item two, the answer is J73. Item three, the answer is J71. Item four, J75. Item five, J70. Item six, J74. Item seven, J72. Louise, did you want to point out one or two things that may help with clarity in how to code any of these items in, under dietary?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple codes that are very similar. And, you know, again, are we getting in the right department or topic on this area? So, for instance, J71, residents complain that they do not get enough to eat at breakfast. So the qualifying word there is breakfast. So it's about the quantity of food they get at a meal. So we're very specific. Then you look at number seven, the last one on the complaint. Residents report that they do not get snacks on the weekends and that they feel hungry in between meals. Okay, they're both about not enough food, but one's about not enough food in between meals and one's about not enough food at a meal. So ombudsmen have developed very specific codes over time. And so, again, this is one where, as you talk to the resident, you kind of flesh out with them what is the issue. And I think when it comes to food, it's usually pretty straightforward. But I just did want to kind of point out that, you know, we've got some specificity there.
Great. Thank you. Now let's move to Section K, environment or safety issues. There are a whole string of these. So I want to run through the answers, and then I think Louise has some comments on a couple to help your clarity of thinking about which one do you use where. Item number one is K84. Item two is K82. Item three is K80. Four is K79. Five is 81. Six is 77. Seven is 85. Eight is 86. Nine is 78. 10 is 83. And Louise, I think you had mentioned maybe taking a look at number six, mm-hmm. which is several residents have complained and want to move to a different part of the facility because the staff smokes in the nearby break room. And then you were also going to take a look and make some comments about the one where there's just a pervasive odor of bleach.
Mm-hmm. So kind of both of these have to do with bad smells in the facility. And again, it's a level of specificity that we've developed over time or that ombudsmen have developed over time. And it's important here that you really look at the definition because the answer for number six, K77, is the definition reads, use for complaints about building, room, or water temperature too hot or cold, ventilation inadequate, indoor cigarette smoke. Noise in the facility and similar problems. So this complaint assumes that the ventilation is the problem of the unpleasant cigarette smoke, but in addition, the definition also says that you use this code for cigarette smoke. As opposed to the last question here, where the entire facility smells like bleach or quite often it might be urine, has more to do with unwanted odors that might just be kind of permeated in the building as opposed maybe to ventilation. So, again, the definition says use for urine, feces, any other offending odor, or any odor which is a detriment to the health of the resident. So it doesn't talk about the ventilation problems. So, again, it's very particular, and that's what we have. And it helps you, I think, in your practice to really define the issue.
Thank you, Louise. The next thing we're going to do is move to categories that really fit under administration of facilities. So, for instance, L is the procedures, policies, attitudes, and resources. We have a polling question for you. So take a look at L, look at item number 4, and key in your response. The assisted living facility does not have a policy for handling complaints other than giving out the ombudsman's phone number. Well, that's what you guys do anyway, isn't it? So key in your response, and we'll take a look at the answers. Okay, obviously L89 has it, but a few of you thought maybe another one was the correct category. So let's take a look and see. Then we'll have some discussion. Item number 1 in L is L92. Item 2, L87. Number 3 is L90. Number 4 is L89. Number 5 is L93. 6 is L91. 7 L94, 8, L88. Louise, do you want to help clarify some of what you use and which codes where for that one?
Sure. So, again, with this one, you know, when I looked at it, I thought it could be confused with information regarding rights, benefits, services, and the resident's right to complain, which is B13. But again, I went and read the definition, and it's not about accessing information. It's about the lack of a grievance process. So you use this complaint code if there's no grievance procedure for handling complaints or if the procedure is not made known to residents or not complied with by the facility. So the facility has an obligation to try to work things out, and just saying call the ombudsman obviously is a lack of a grievance procedure. Now, one person or a few people selected the operator is inadequately trained, which might be the underlying cause, but the issue at hand is having a policy for handling complaints. So that's kind of, the theme is around not having a policy and a grievance procedure, which is specific to L89. Let's see. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was just number 9. The nursing facility will not post the announcement for the next resident council meeting and will not include it in the activity calendar. Just a reminder that, you know, facility staff have a duty to assist with resident councils. And so, again, it's about the council specifically, not so much about what happens during the council in terms of resident conflict. So.
Thank you, Louise. And in case there's any confusion, Louise said it's item number 9. Your quizzes hopefully show it as item number 7. We had some version issues as we were going through the editing.
Yep. So. I'm sorry. I'm using a pre-corrected version.
Correct. Yes.
Oops.
But you got the correct answers.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Let's move to ILM, which is the whole section around staffing. And we all know nationally this is one of the most used categories for complaints. So item number 1, the answer is 97. Number 2, the answer is 96. 3, the answer is 99. 4, the answer is 102. 5, the answer is 100. 6, the answer is 98. 7, the answer is 101. Louise, would you point out a couple of things under this section that may help people as they think about how to code them, please?
Yeah, just another reminder. Here is another complaint related to language barriers. But again, on this time, it is about the staff's inability to communicate with residents. And I say for most ombudsmen, the most frequent experience that residents tell them around language barriers with staff is the residents speak English and the staff don't speak English very well. And so that type of complaint often would be M96. So it's not about the resident receiving services or information in their own language. It's about the staff. I just wanted to point out M102. Several years ago, CMS promulgated regulations that would allow a non-certified staff, untrained, basically, staff, to help nursing home residents with assistance with eating. And so this code was developed to specifically track, were there problems with these non-trained staff in helping residents to eat their meals. And some states have really kind of taken on and hired people to be what is sometimes in, called feeding assistants, which is not a very empowering term. And other states have not gone very far with this. So this might be an important issue in your state or not. But that is also a reminder of where it's important to code specifically if you're trying to track a specific issue in your state.
Thanks, Louise. The next group of complaints that we want to look at, complaint category codes, have to do with problems with outside agency system or people. Essentially, all of these are not against facility. So if you look at section number N, which is about certification or licensing agency, number 1 is 107, number 2 is 103, number 3, the answer is 109, number 4, the answer is 105, number 5, the answer is 106, number 6, the answer is 104, number 7, the answer is 108. And I think we particularly wanted to just make a comment about item number 3, which is the hearing officer fails to conduct a discharge appeal hearing in a timely manner. Louise?
Yeah, this is another one where it is around a discharge complaint, but it's not a complaint against the facility. It's a complaint about the outside agency, the hearing officer. So, again, that's kind of having to make sure you look and make sure you're in the right topic area. So that's all.
Thank you. Take a look at Section O. And the category heading is the state Medicaid agency. So item number 1, the answer is 115. Number 2, the answer is 112. Number 3, the answer is 111. Number 4, the answer is 114. Number 5, the answer is 113. And I think Louise wanted to talk a little bit about number 2. Families are upset because residents who receive veterans benefits are being denied Medicaid because a portion of the pension is being included incorrectly in the calculation of their monthly income. So if you'd help us understand why it goes in this category, that type of complaint, versus another category?
Yeah, there is in the P section, you can code a complaint against the VA or VA benefits, but in this circumstance, the resident, the family is upset with the Medicaid agency because they're incorrectly calculating some veterans' benefits as income and therefore disqualifying for them for Medicaid. So, again, it's kind of getting to the heart of the issue. They're not complaining about VA. The VA is causing a problem or that income is causing a problem with receiving Medicaid. So sometimes you just have to sort those things out. So I just wanted to highlight that.
Thank you, Louise. Let's look at P, which is systems or others. And we've asked you to poll, or we want to poll you on your response to number 3, which says, a resident of a nursing home returns to the facility with bad skin tears and bruises after weekend visits with her husband. Now, to me, this sounds like it could go in one of a number of different categories. So key in your response, and particularly the code under this section of the categories, and then we'll have Louise talk with us about why the answer is the answer, as well as why it fits in this category under systems and others.
Okay. Well, it looks like most people agree on the answer.
So, Louise, mm-hmm. before we delve into that, do you want me to give them the answers for all the sections?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
That's
yes.
okay. But you're right. There is quite a bit of agreement on those answers. So look at all of your section P. 1 is 122, 2 is 119, 3 is 117, 4 is 121, 5 is 118, 6 is 120, 7 is 127, 8 is 123, 9 is 124, 10 is 128, 11 is 126, 12 is 125. And the particular one that we polled you on was this number 3. A resident of a nursing home returns to the facility with bad skin tears and bruises after weekend visits with her husband. So, Louise, help us understand this code.
And it looks like there's pretty clear understanding. This is potential abuse that was not caused by the staff, so it's not in the A topic area, which would be the facility being the cause of the abuse. It's the husband who potentially has abused the resident when taken out of the facility. Somebody, I believe, selected family conflict as a potential answer. And, you know, again, taking the complaint at face value, we don't know anything about a family conflict. That could be something that comes up down the road, but the immediate and overriding theme here is the potential abuse.
Thank you, Louise. The last section of the categories, complaint categories, is Q, complaints about service and settings other than long-term care facilities or by an outside provider. We'll go over the answers to that section of your quiz, and I know we've also had another question that's come in through the chat about what appropriately fits under Q, and I think Louise will respond to that right after we go over the answers. So item number 1 is 130. Item number 2 is 132. Item number 3 is 129. Item number 4 is 131. So, Louise, if you want to make any comments about any of the items in this category, as well as in general, what kinds of things should ombudsman be putting into Q? And if they do home care ombudsman work, does it go here or does it not go in NORS?
Well, Q is a conundrum, I guess I'll put it that way. So for a lot of you, you will hardly ever use Section Q. And if you look at Q129, it is about home care. And so if you are doing home care if your state does home care complaints, then you would select, you would use that code a lot, Q129. But it does not allow you to then go back and choose, okay, the complaint about the home care agency was related to care, so I'm going to pick a care complaint. NORS doesn't collect the types of complaints about home care, just that there was a home care complaint. So that's the way it's designed. Same with Q 130, hospital or hospice. That complaint is for people who are in the hospital or in a private residence. It's not about residents in facilities with complaints about the hospital. And I think a lot of us have misunderstood that over time. So, again, you're probably not investigating hospital complaints. You know, that might be a consultation that you refer the person on to a, you know, health department who does that. that, again, it's not for residents in facilities. And then, let me think here, Q132. Actually, wait, I'm going to do Q131 first. Q131, again, is not related to people who live in long-term care facilities. So it's somebody with a who lives in an independent retirement community or some kind of maybe subsidized housing. I know when I was in Washington State with the program, we would get calls from people in those settings. We didn't have jurisdiction. We didn't take those as complaints. We did provide information and consult with them. So a lot of you won't have Q131 complaints. If you're doing home care work as part of your state mandate, then you might have Q131 complaints. Okay, then we get to Q132, and I'd say we have made this complicated. So your rule of thumb is 129, 130, and 131 are all for non-facility, for people who do not live in facilities, okay? Again, I'll say that again. So 129, 130, and 139 are people who do not live in facilities, so they are not residents. Q132, however, can be used for residents who have a complaint about an outside provider, like they have a complaint about maybe they are getting some home care services in their assisted living, some extra service, and they have a complaint about it. So that would be, and again, we're not defining what kind of provider, just an outside provider. And let me kind of look at the definition real quick here. It says, used for services from an outside provider which are not included in other categories for which the facility makes arrangements. For example, personal and homemaking services in an assisted living facility, therapies, non-Medicaid transportation, psychosocial service. Use P125 for outside physician services. So you may have this code come up from time to time, but I would say, you know, my experience is we did not get a lot of complaints about outside providers. A few, but, you know, not a lot. So.
Thank you, Louise. We now have a few minutes, not a lot, but a few, for questions. So if there's, what I'd like to do is start with anything related to the answers in the quiz, what are the correct codes, or a misunderstanding about that. And then if something else comes up, we can deal with that. I see that we have one in the chat room. And Louise, it seems like maybe you're the person to respond to this. The question is, if a resident is receiving hospice services delivered in the facility and has a complaint, what code category do you use there? So the resident is living in a facility, a hospice provider is coming in and providing services to someone who is a long-term care facility resident.
And I would say you would use 132, services from outside provider, because that's the only category that captures services provided to residents. So even though the natural inclination would be to go to hospital or hospice, that is for people who are receiving those services in the hospital or in a, you know, like an inpatient hospice center. So, yeah.
Thank you, Louise. And I think we're going to have Lori give us instructions if you want to unmute your line and ask a question. We've got about another 4 or 5 minutes for questions.
Hi, everybody. To unmute your line, if you have a question that you'd like to ask, press *6. And then once you've asked your question, you would hit *7. I'm sorry, hit *7 to unmute your line, and then *6 to mute it back again. So *7. If you'd like to unmute your line and ask a question.
Thank you, Lori.
the above.
Any questions about the quiz?
Eileen had a question, and I wasn't quite sure. It was about C-19 involuntary discharges. I don't know, Eileen, I'm not quite sure I understood the question. Is Eileen still there? Maybe not.
I think I just unmuted, I think. This is Eileen.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just chiming in because we often have discussions around can a facility be listed as complaining against itself? The example to be used was the C-19 for involuntary discharge when they're sending the ombudsman a notification or copy of an involuntary discharge. And just going beyond that is the complainant, and we're not doing complainants, who is the complainant today, but could it be coded as a C-19 as the facility is, you know, really they're the ones bringing the ombudsman into working on a situation, and the basic question is, could they end up being looked at providing enough information that a complaint is involved in being lodged against itself?
I certainly think that's within the realm of possibilities, and it could be, you know, sometimes you see the staff disagreement. Maybe the social worker calls the ombudsman, and then the administrator is pushing the discharge, and so the ombudsman gets involved to work with the resident, assuming the resident wants to fight the discharge. So I don't see that as, you know, the issue is there a complaint? Is there an investigation and action required to achieve the resolution that the resident wants? And, again, you've got to get back to the resident and what do they want.
Right.
Does that answer?
It does,
question?
But it will continue to arise, I think, in local programs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to mute myself again. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for bringing that up, Eileen, because you're correct. That is an issue and a question that comes up numerous times around the country. But as Louise clarified, it has everything to do with what's the extent of the ombudsman action and involvement and what the resident wants and directs the ombudsman to do. Okay, we have another question. So, Cheryl, if you would go ahead and ask your question, and I'm looking at the time. I'm thinking this probably will be the final question during this webinar, but please continue to put your questions into the chat or email Shelley with them, and we will do our very best to get back to you in a timely fashion. Cheryl?
Hi, thank you very much. In Minnesota, the ombudsman do advocacy in home care and in adult foster care. For the sake of time, if you want to direct this in another fashion, I'm very open to that. My question, two questions, how would you code or in what category? I'm assuming Q, adult foster care, would fall into. And then question number two is just a clarification. For example, if a person is facing eviction from an assisted living, would that be coded only as home care? I guess we're struggling in Minnesota how you correctly code that, because we've been coding it as 19, involuntary discharge, discharge planning. So we would appreciate further instruction on how to correctly code those complaints in the other settings.
So I think if I understand, in Minnesota there might be things that you call assisted living that are not licensed facilities.
They are licensed facilities, Louise. They're licensed as housing with services, and some are assisted living. We have a few categories of different licenses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we may need to discuss this further. I'm thinking off the cuff that, you know, anything in that broad category of board and care would be in that facility board and care selection. as opposed to the home care complaint is very specific about the private residence. But we probably need to talk about it a little more offline because I, from what I understand, you have there's some questions about how to what counts as a facility in your state versus not. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And then, okay. So however you want to suggest we continue that, this has been a very big interest in Minnesota to get it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we can do that. But again, if you're if it's some kind of a setting that you consider a facility one way or another, and it's in the NORS, it says whether licensed or unlicensed, then you'd count it in that board and care category.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Cheryl, that was a good question. We've had that from some other areas, Sarah. And I'm thinking that exactly what Louise said, obviously she's with the Administration on Aging, but if you go back to the NORS instructions and also to the Older Americans Act where it clarifies what kinds of facilities the Ombudsman Program is mandated to cover. If it fits within one of those types of facilities, then it goes in another section of the NORS code. But for some ombudsmen who are just doing home care ombudsman work through a state mandate and state funding or some other source of funding, then that's the kinds of things that get captured in the home care category that Louise was talking about. But states have a lot of different names for the facilities that are caught up in the board and care classification, but that fit within the Older Americans Act definition of long-term care facilities. Okay, quickly to summarize, I hope you remember and take away from today that one complaint gets one code, and you may find out in investigating a complaint that there are other complaints that would be coded with a different code, and that certainly comes up all the time. But one complaint, one code. You consider, to help you narrow it down right off the bat, is a complaint against the facility or something the facility should rightfully control. The second question is what code best fits the presenting problem. There again, on this slide, we have information on how to contact Shelley with additional questions. And some of you have been suggesting things that maybe would improve the NORS reporting system. It's up for renewal next year. We're already starting on a list of things to consider in terms of changes, so send those to Shelley as well. I wanted to let you know that we have two more trainings coming up on the last two modules of the NORS training. One is part three, one is part four. Part three, the webinar, is scheduled for November the 10th, the same time as today's webinar. Part four, the webinar will be sometime in January, so stand by, watch for your announcements. They will come to you just as they did today. Finally, I'd like to give a big thank you to Shelley and every member of the WINC who's worked tirelessly on trying to edit these statements, the answers, make sure they match correctly, are as clear as possible. And to Louise, who's been going back and forth with multiple different changes and revisions, as well as for their input and guidance on the call today. We hope that this has been good for people who've never had the training, as well as for some of you who do it day in and day out. And maybe it's been a while since you've stopped to really think about what fits in which category and how best to code it. So thank you very much. I know that we have a few outstanding questions, but I think we're at the end of the time today. Lori, I give it back to you if there's anything that you want to say.
Just want to say thank you to Sarah Hunt and Shelley and Louise for your hosting an excellent webinar today. We've already been getting a lot of good feedback. And thanks to all of you who have been participating. This webinar, along with the first NORS webinar, the materials are posted on the Ombudsman Resource Center website, and the recordings will be posted as well for future reference. And we'll look forward to having you all participate in modules 3 and 4 that are forthcoming. So thanks. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. It's okay to disconnect now. Thanks.
Thank you. Please stand by.